I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sam have just moved to Santa Carla, California. They're about to discover its secret.
Notice anything unusual about Santa Carla yet?
No. It's a pretty cool place. If you're a Martian.
Or a vampire.
So where are you? The flying nun!
I'm your brother, Sammy. Help me!
Hey there, and welcome to Rewatchability. This is a podcast where we rewatch old movies to see how they hold up in the modern era with our modern eyes. My name is Blaine Waters. With me, as always, is...
Robula Laranferatu.
That's the worst organist name I've ever heard. And I should say that we're part of the Entertainment One podcast network. But before we get into everything, we just want to say thank you to our Patreons.
Yes.
Thank you so much for going to patreon.com/rewatchability.
You are our lifeblood.
We're definitely sucking you dry over
at
Patreon.
You keep us young, eternal. Oh,
God. Your eyes are so wild.
Come with us. Patreon.
Patreon.com/rewatchability. And you can get the podcast early and ad-free.
Yes.
And classic episodes there, also ad-free. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, check that out.
Episodes that never grow old.
As we talk about how old this movie has grown.
It's pretty old.
Yeah. But let's get into the movie, Rob. This is The Lost Boys.
Yes.
It was kind of a big movie for me when I was a kid. When did you first see it?
I didn't see it until later. I believe that I rented it at one point when I was in university just as something to watch.
Okay.
I was pretty stoked that Ted from Bill and Ted was in it. Or is it
Alex
Bill?
Alex Winter?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like the lowest vampire on the totem pole, but yeah. I'm like, I'm just glad to see that guy somewhere.
He's low-hanging fruit, like literally, in this movie. Yeah, but it was nice to see him.
It was good to see him.
Yeah.
And I also love seeing young Kiefer Sutherland. I already sort of knew who he was and had a few favorite performances of his. And so I thought it was a really cool movie. And, you know, I love the Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
I love the sort of like 80s feel of it. I hadn't watched in a long time simply because it's a vampire movie.
Right.
And, you know, you really have to be in a vampire zone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, and I wanted to do this for Halloween, and you were like, well, it has that kind of back-to-school vibe, too, where you like it's a new thing you're doing.
Well, they don't actually go to school in the movie, but they do move to a new town.
Yeah,
so that's like, part of the theme. And there's a lot
like
of, like
a new group of people they have to be with.
It feels very end of summer, because they spend a lot of time at the amusement park, and it's dark out, you know?
Yeah, like the CNE or whatever.
Yeah.
In Toronto. That's what we have, is amusement park.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all... Nobody's wearing shorts.
No. No, they're all wearing, like, really long jackets.
Yeah,
it's fair. Because it's the 80s. This film was done by Schumacher.
Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, directed by him.
And the director of... best known for Batman's Forever and Ever and Ever.
He just wants everything to exist forever. This is his M.O. And it was in 1987. So the fashion is so big in this movie.
Yeah.
And everyone's hair is also likewise big.
It's very like punk, new wave, gothy sort of vibes. There's like lots of really great shots of what they call Santa Clara. And it's just, yeah, you see all these people with like mohawks and like dyed asymmetrical hair and like wearing like, you know, ripped jeans and stuff like that.
And it's so great just off the top. Just it's a product of its time because there's like malls and this boardwalk and it has like a comic book store and it has a video store. It just very much brought me back to the 80s.
Yeah, and before the apocalypse happened and the comic book stores and video game stores were destroyed.
Yes.
Atomic weapons. But when was the first time that you saw this, Blaine?
I saw this in like the early 90s. We got it on videotape from the store.
Okay.
My mom rented movies a lot. It was kind of the cheap thing to do. We couldn't go to the movies a lot.
Yeah.
And we were pretty poor, so we rented movies a lot. And I, absolutely fell in love with this movie when I was a kid.
Wow.
It was just really creepy at the same time as having that – I didn't really move anywhere. The biggest move I had was like a kilometer down the street.
Right.
And that's less than a mile
and
for our American listeners.
And it broke your
listeners.
Heart. Yeah, exactly. You were just lost. You were a lost
boy. I was a lost boy. Yeah. And so I always kind of had that, you know, a little bit of a fantasy of like moving to a new town, what that would bring. And and this was that.
Let me tell you, Blaine, it fucking sucks.
Oh, no. I did it later.
First of all, there are vampires everywhere.
You have to wear garlic all the time.
Yeah.
It's just a hassle. So I love this movie. And I really, because it was about kids, too, like the younger brother.
Right.
Corey Haim in this movie, and I loved the fact that like kids had some agency in the movie. I loved the Goonies,
the Frog Brothers too.
Yeah,
Corey Feldman, other Corey,
the other Corey.
There are two Corys. If you
there
hadn't heard,
there are only two Corys. Yes.
And some guy who's not a Corey. I don't know what his name is.
Yeah,
not a Corey.
You know, I looked up on IMDb, and it wasn't a Corey, and I just forgot who he was. He's dead to me
Aww.
Now. Yeah,
that's sad.
Poor guy. Should have been named better. Anyway, so I absolutely loved it, and I had watched it like throughout my life here and there, mainly around Halloween, and I haven't seen it in about 10 years. So I was excited to go back and watch it and to see if it held up and to see if it was as exciting as I remembered it.
Mm.
Yeah. But we'll get into that.
Okay. I'm excited.
We'll get into that right now. So let's talk about what the plot is for those who haven't seen The Lost Boys.
Lost Boys. So it starts at a carnival. There are some really tough-looking, bleached blonde dudes, and they start picking a fight with some other dudes on a carousel.
Yeah, the fight they pick is the weirdest, like, dance fight thing where
it's pretty West Side Story.
Kiefer Sutherland goes up with his gloved hand and, like, touches a girl on the cheek, and then her boyfriend literally pushes her head away from his hand, like doesn't push his hand away. He's like, get out of there, Jenny. And, like, she runs off the carousel. And then they start fighting over her, and she gets, like, thrown around a lot, which is just in the seat. I feel bad for her is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but this sets up the entire story because, I don't know, there's some, like, young kids having petty fights. Or are they?
Yeah, well, the security guard chokeholds Kiefer Sutherland, so that guy was going to become a cop. That's good.
So, or he used to be a cop.
Yeah, or he used to be a cop,
He got busted down.
And then
later on, the security guard who wronged them, who scorned them, is out going back to his car, and he gets attacked.
Yes.
From above.
By a dolly. The camera dollies into him and attacks him.
There are some squeaky bat noises, too.
Oh, are there?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh,
that's
there
hilarious.
Are. Whenever they fly behind the camera, because they never show the Lost Boys flying.
Right.
They're just like, bat squeak, bat squeak, bat squeak.
If they had another $1 million, they could have done the actual bats.
Yeah,
but they could. But
yeah,
they like carry that guy off and murder him.
That's why Joel Schumacher made Batman.
He's like, I could have done a bat movie. I can
do
a bat
movie. That's all I wanted
movie.
To do.
So that kind of, that's the cold open to the movie. And we wonder, like, what's killing things in Santa Cruz?
Santa Clara.
All right.
Diet.
Right.
Cut to Diane Wiest.
Yep.
The world's greatest mom.
I was so glad she was in this.
Yes!
I totally forgot she was in this.
Me too.
She's great.
She's...
Have you seen Life in Pieces?
No.
She's hilarious in that.
Yeah?
She's so good, yeah.
I mean, we just talked about so many movies where she is the mom that the kids can turn to
yeah.
when there is a problem.
Edward
and it's really disappointing that she doesn't fucking listen to him this time. Come on, Diane. You're better than that.
Don't be a waste. So, yeah. So she's moving her family, which is her model son and
yep.
her other model son, to this new town.
Yeah.
And they're moving from Phoenix, Arizona,
yeah.
I should say. Which is apparently like the fashion capital of the world. Those two kids are dressed to the nines in like the new fashion.
Yeah, which today looks like somebody tumbled through a Value Village.
Yeah, exactly. Ran through another like AHA video.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, they're going to live with their grandpa because they've just been through a divorce and things are really hard. And
yeah.
you know, their grandpa... by the way, is a bit of a character. Like, there's some weird things about him, too.
He's a taxidermist, I think?
Yeah, he has all these dead animals.
Or he goes to Value Village way too much.
And he's also very particular about his shelf on the fridge.
Yeah. That's true. just put a bookmark on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But they sort of start to explore the town. They go to the carnival as a family.
Yeah.
And while they're there, the older kid, played by Jason Patrick, whose name is Michael, he spots a girl off in the distance.
Yeah.
And he's like, I must have her.
And how he kind of tells the girl he likes her is he just stares at her until she runs away.
He pouts. I mean, the staring, that I think will work eventually. Don't stare at women or girls.
There's no cell phone, so she's running away to a payphone to call the cops. Right.
Well, especially since that carnival has no more security.
Exactly. Yeah, that guy's dead. Also, they go to like watch a band that is. What the fuck is with this band?
Oh my god, that band was amazing.
They were ripped. Like it was just like washboard abs all the way through that band.
Yeah, like I have to describe this for the viewers because I want to turn them on. Yeah.
It's this, I'm really afraid of you doing this.
It's this jacked dude
oh,
with
god.
Like a ponytail and like he's wearing like a little Speedo thing.
Someone's like taking an olive oil bottle and just doused him with it. Like,
and baby, he's playing the saxophone. He's like, it's so good. And I was compelled by the power of Christ to look up this guy.
Oh, amazing. Who was he?
Well, I looked him up. His name is Tim Capelli, I believe. And he had quite the career. This song is called, I think, Hearts of Fire, but he toured for many years and played with Miss Tina Turner.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And in, like, some re-recorded version of Proud Mary, he played saxophone and did the Ike part. And he would perform, apparently, just in a G-string.
I don't doubt it. This guy was, like, the most and he was tanned. It was just like a beach dude.
Right. But the band like sounded like some sort of like weird like Talking Heads Tears for Fears mashup.
It was so weird.
It was so weird and so awesome. Like I would buy that band's album. I would go to a record store, track it down.
Yeah, just for the cover. Because you know it's going to be good.
Yes. I mean, I like the saxophone too. But this girl that Mike has sort of had his eye on, she actually approaches him while he's considering getting some sort of dirty carnival ear piercing.
We do it with the railroad spike. Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Put your head on the track.
Damn carnies.
And she sort of like indicates for him to come with her. Now, he's already seen that she rides with Kiefer. So, I mean, his romantic dreams have already been thrown into question, but here she is beckoning him to come with her, and He does, and he meets this whole gang, the Lost Boys.
Yeah, Alice Winter, Kiefer Sutherland, two other guys.
Yeah, that's right. When you're billed below Alex Winter, that's a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And they apparently want him to hang out with them. They sort of race him, you know, or invite him to, like, ride with them along the misty highway.
It's like these guys just need, like, a class in how to be friends with people.
It's hard for men, you know?
But down in the 80s,
that's why they invented podcasts, so men could keep friendships together. Blaine.
I'm sorry. I should have called. Yeah, no,
well,
they
wouldn't have to watch all these movies if you did.
They, like, challenge him kind of to a race through the woods in the fog to death. Like, it's just like a weird way of being like, want to hang out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very like machismo, like, you know.
You just be like, want to play some Mario?
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy like that.
But they eventually take him back to their weird cave, which has a prominent Jim Morrison shrine.
Yeah. And it looks exactly like Robert Patrick, too. Like, his hair is all curled and he has, like, the jaw.
You think that's what Robert Pattinson's going for?
I wish it was Robert Pattinson.
I can't wait for a fat Robert Pattinson face. But I hope he makes it longer than 33 or 27 or whatever it was. Anyway, there, they sort of play some vampire games with him.
Yeah. Which is like, vampires can make you see things?
Well, yeah.
I didn't know that about the vampire lore.
I think that is well established in Dracula and other things, that they can sort of project illusions onto you. So
it's an illusion, Michael. That's what Kiefer should have said.
So Kiefer feeds Mike some Chinese food, some rice.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you don't like rice? But it's maggots!
Ta-da! And he doesn't like that.
No.
He doesn't like that. He spits it out.
Some noodles.
Oh, they're worms!
Ah!
Oh, gotcha! They weren't worms. They were just noodles.
Vampires.
And then he's like, oh, drink this this blood. And he's like, oh, it's not blood. It's got to be wine. Because you fooled me twice before.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's how vampires get you.
It's the three times the charm rule. So he drinks the blood of the head vampire.
Yeah.
Whoever
out of a janky-ass bottle.
Yeah, it's like some, like, off-market wine that you'd get, like, out of the back
like
of a truck.
Fished out of the pier.
Yeah, exactly. There's a message inside. It's awful.
Drink some of this, Michael. Be one of us.
Michael.
Don't. You don't have to, Michael.
Michael.
It's blood.
Sure.
Yeah, but he drinks that thinking it's wine and then immediately trips balls for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some of that strong wine.
I wish I had that wine.
And they, like, bring him to some bridge and, you know, they're going
to
do, like, a Stand By Me thing because Kiefer and Corey Feldman are very comfortable with train bridges.
Yeah, the danger that that poses. And they all, like, jump down and then start working out on these pull-up bars below the bridge. And the other, you know, Michael jumps down, too, because he wants to prove his worth as a man.
Well, he thinks he's going to die. He's, like, hanging there for quite a while. And, you know, eventually he lets go and, you know.
Yeah.
He's alive.
Yeah. Well, in his bed the next day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With an ear piercing.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
Like, he went back to the carnival that night? I don't understand how he got the ear piercing.
Kiefer gave it to him.
They were on the railroad. They were right there. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
meanwhile, though, his brother has also, you know, made a new friend, some new friends at the carnival, because they went to this comic shop, and that's where he meets, for the first time in cinema history, the other Corey. The meeting of the Coreys. And the other dude. I don't remember what his name is.
Yeah, there's another guy there.
Yeah. And he's Corey Feldman is playing, and the other guy, are playing these two vampire hunters, Edgar and Alan Frog.
Yeah, because Poe was too much.
Well, it sounds like a cartoon version of Edgar Allan Poe for kids.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, Baby Raven, nevermore, nevermore.
Yeah, yeah. The Telltale Heart is just saying ribbit in the floor.
But Corey Feldman sort of warns him in an oblique way that something isn't right in Santa Clara. He gives him a comic book called Vampires Everywhere.
Which was the first name of Improv Everywhere.
That's right.
Yeah. There's mass biting
of
necks.
Crowd. Yeah, couldn't exactly. get a crowd.
But they are 13 and they own a comic book store. That's very confusing to me because they chase people off who steal the comic books. Like, I don't understand. Are they the owners? They're just giving out comic books for free. What's
I don't know. Maybe their dad owns it or something. I don't know. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah,
to be frank, there
weird.
Was fucking vampires in this, so I was a little bit occupied.
Okay, man. All right.
Okay.
If you're worried about the vampires, that's fair.
Yeah.
So he is kind of reading this comic. He's learning about vampires. He's a little scared. And then at the same time, Dan Wiest is meeting maybe her new beau.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because she's gotten a job at the video store.
Yeah.
And her boss, who is Grandpa Gilmore.
Oh, from the Gilmore Girls?
Yeah.
I've never watched that.
Oh, Blaine.
Is it good?
They talked very fast. I can't do it. I'm no Rory Gilmore.
Okay, I'll check it out. So he was in the Gilmore, because I didn't recognize him from anything.
Oh, I recognize him from so many things. Like, he was a great character actor.
Yeah.
He passed away a couple of years ago. But this was definitely the youngest I've seen him.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the first time where I think he was given any sort of romantic prowess.
Yeah.
But because he, you know, he's sort of hitting on Diane Wiest, and he has some romantic intentions for hiring her, which now we know is bad. Like, don't – if you have an employee, you shouldn't make romantic overtures to them because you're in a position of power.
Yeah.
Blaine.
I just wanted one date. He hires her and then immediately asks her on a date.
Yeah.
He's like, so I hired you, so you have to date me now.
I would – hold up for a paycheck.
It's just the first.
Yeah.
Two weeks later, you know?
Yeah.
Just to make sure he's a good paid actor.
Or wait for the 3-month probationary period to be over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Could have fired her the next date.
Could have fired her the next day.
So she's kind of a little smitten. There's something happening there. And all three characters that moved to this new town are. And the grandpa's dating, too.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're a horny bunch.
That's what this movie was originally called. The Horny Bunch. It was a Western. It was really inappropriate.
Yeah. But so Corey Haim immediately almost suspects that his brother is turning into a vampire because his brother, you know, he starts sweating. He looks pale. It could just be he's a junkie. But Corey Haim goes straight to vampire, which is disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he, you know, he wants to think the best of his brother. So,
yeah. The best. He calls him, when he suspects that his brother is a vampire, he calls him a shit-sucking vampire, which, Corey Haim, I don't think you know how vampires work.
Oh, God, it's blood. He's like, I want to be a vampire, too. No, Corey, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's blood.
Yeah.
Suck blood. Anyway, yeah.
So he has to ask the Frog Brothers to sort of help him. Mm-hmm. You know, figure out what to do with his brother.
Yeah, and they're like, kill him. Just murder him right away.
They're all for killing.
They want to murder everyone in this town.
Anybody who's a vampire anyway, or anybody that they suspect of being a vampire.
Yeah.
Because there's even like this little kid vampire later, and, you know, he's about to turn. He's like a half vampire, and Corey's like, let's kill him.
Yeah, and we see him on like a carton of milk.
On a milk carton.
Yeah, exactly, at one point.
That's very 80s, too.
Yeah,
like, this movie really captures the zeitgeist of the 80s.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the music and stuff, and like that weird first song with the chanting of the thou shalt not kill.
Yes.
Like, it's so weird. I kind of love it, though.
I feel the same way.
Okay, great. It's so weird.
It's so cheesy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's the song that was written for the movie. I think it's called, it's something like Come to Me, Sister, or something like that.
Right.
And it's so, like, it's not,
Isn't it probably like NXS or something like that? Like, it's like...
No, NXS did some other songs for this movie, I think.
Yeah, because Joel Schumacher, like, did some videos or like a live thing for them.
Yeah.
Directed something for them, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Vampires.
They're everywhere, like the comic book says.
Yeah. So, Diane Weiss keeps on trying to go on dates with Max.
Right.
And we sort of get, like, the sense that perhaps he could be a vampire because at one point he comes to their house and he asks Michael to invite him in.
Yeah.
And we know about vampires that you need to invite them in.
Yeah.
And he comes to dinner at their house. Diane Weiss makes dinner.
Yep.
And Corey Haim invites the Frog Brothers to dinner so that they can check whether or not he is the vampire.
Yeah, and there's weird interactions. It's like a weirdly written scene at the dinner table where Corey Haim's like, would you like some Parmesan? He's like, yeah, I'll take some Parmesan. I'm a flesh and blood human being. Who doesn't love Parmesan? And then Corey Haim's like, here, have it. And then he's like, he grated it himself. Isn't he so great? Who? Anyone can grate cheese, Diane Weiss. Get over it. Come on now. It's just a weird interaction. And so
don't shame him for not being able to grate cheese until this point in his life.
He didn't have the coordination. Kept on shaving his fingers, too. Yeah, so he eats it. The garlic doesn't affect him. And it's fine.
Yeah, but he's like, oh, this is raw garlic.
Yeah, what the fuck, kid? God damn you.
You want some Parmesan cheese on that?
Yeah, Sam, thank you very much.
Sam grated the cheese himself.
Ah.
My son.
Another budding chef in the family.
Are you all right?
No, it's not cheese. It's garlic.
But you hate garlic, don't you?
No, I like garlic. It's just a little much. It's raw garlic.
Garlic? How did that happen?
Guys, he likes garlic.
Sorry.
Yeah, and then they have the Corys turn off the lights, and they're like, oh, it's a circuit must have broken.
Yeah.
And then they use this shower mirror to try to see if he has a reflection.
Yep. He gets pretty scared.
But it seems like he's not a vampire.
No, and he realizes what this must be is man of the house. You know?
Yeah.
He's playing that out, and he's like, you know, I'm not taking your mom away from you. And he seems like a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
And he's like...
Stepfather syndrome.
But then he says to Diane Weiss, let's try this one more time. Like, he's going to give up after that. Like, fuck this.
Well, I think that's fair. I mean...
No?
If... I mean, I don't know. I think it's hard, okay? You come into a new family. If the kids don't accept you, you know, you have to drink their blood.
Come here, kids. Give me your blood. This is going to happen.
You're not my dad.
Open a vein.
You're just an old vampire. But meanwhile, like, the vampirosis is sort of continuing in Michael. He's turning more to a vampire. But also, the girl who he likes, whose name is Star,
yep. She
is also turning more and more into a vampire. But they... You know, they have, like, some real romantic moments. They have some vampire sex.
Yeah, that was so weird.
Why?
They go to the lair, and they're looking for the vampires to be like, oh, my God, hopefully they can cure us or do something, or they're afraid of the vampires. And while they're waiting, they're just like, let's fuck on this huge bed.
Danger is an aphrodisiac.
Apparently. They're also, like... going through human withdrawal. Like, they're becoming vampires, so they're all sweaty and shaking, and they're like, this is the best time to have some steamy teen sex.
Yeah.
It was just a weird... I don't know. He didn't need
it.
And I think Schumacher just loves the sexiness of this movie. He just wants that all throughout it, and I hate it. I hate that part of his direction so much. Yeah, so they have that. And it's in this, like underground lair that they have that used to be a hotel that fell during an earthquake into this cave.
Right.
Which is, I don't know if that is a true thing that ever happened.
I don't know. It sounds like California. They're always earthquaking.
Yeah, exactly.
But she reveals that he isn't quite a vampire yet. He's only a half vampire, but he needs to feed. And, like, at one point, the Lost Boys bring him out to the beach to go and feast on some surf Nazis.
What is going on in this movie?
Did you see that? They're surf Nazis.
I know. It's so freaking weird.
And that makes me question, like, everything because, I mean, there's the big debate. Is it okay to punch a Nazi? Is it okay to drink the blood of a Nazi?
And then
a surf Nazi?
And then throw their dismembered bodies on their own fire?
Presumably they're burning books
in that fire? I don't know. I mean, they're the bad guys, but then they're taking out bad guys. So are they vigilantes?
Yeah.
Are they really good guys?
I feel like there should be like a World War II movie about a gang of vampires who are tasked with killing Hitler and turning him into a vampire.
Oh my God.
For the Allies.
We can use his evil for good. This is a horrible movie. Winston Churchill's
the head vampire. No. Okay, you're right. This is a horrible movie.
Just being wheeled around.
Oh, but Gary Oldman could play him.
Oh, yeah.
Good vampire, good Winston Churchill.
Yeah, but he's an old man. And that's vampires are eternal, so I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about that joke either. Okay, so, but if he feeds, he becomes full vampire.
Yeah.
Or he could kill the head vampire and become human again.
Well, that's what Corey Feldman has told Corey Haim. So that will be the way that he can save his brother and Star and little Laddie.
Milk carton kid. And so they go to the cave where these guys are with stakes. And they just fucking kill Alice Winter right away.
Yeah, they're sleeping upside down.
Yeah, like bats do. And Alice Winter, like, just explodes in front of them.
Oh, bogus.
It's so weird because they're like, we need to hit the head vampire, which is obviously Kiefer. And he's like, nah, let's hit this guy first. Well, one wasn't the screams are going to wake everyone up, which they do, and then they chase them all out.
They don't know that Kiefer's character, David, is the head vampire.
Yeah, but he's definitely like the head of the group. I don't know.
I mean, he definitely looks like the alpha vampire.
Yeah.
Do vampires have that?
I mean, Spike.
I know werewolves do.
Spike and Buffy had like blonde hair too, right? Like white hair. So I think the like alpha vampire always has shock of white hair. I don't know. So they run away and have to like shore up their in like a Skyfall-esque moment. They have to shore up their like house to like defend from the vampires.
Yeah, they get all of them back there, and then they know that they're going to attack at night.
Yes,
once day is over, once the sun is down, so they have to like prep. Like Corey Feldman goes to a Catholic church interrupting a baptism to steal holy water from the font.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
That was my favorite scene.
Yeah, and then like making the garlic spray in the tub and stuff like that. And it's all just setting up stuff for later. And yeah, and like nice little twists all the way along this like final climax.
Yeah.
Which is great because the garlic doesn't hurt them, but the holy water sure does.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It's great.
Yeah, the vampires bite it one by one. One vampire gets shoved into the bathtub.
Yeah.
Just like Jim Morrison died.
Yeah, and then just imploding.
I just thought of that. Probably a lot of garlic in there too. Do you think Jim Morrison was a vampire?
Oh God. And all the pipes in the house burst and implode or whatever.
Yeah.
And
oh my God. Yeah. There's just a geyser of blood for no reason. Like I don't know how Joel Schumacher thinks plumbing works.
It's very like Army of Darkness at this point, where just like a geyser of blood comes up. Very Sam Raimi. Corey Feldman does say that vampires die in different ways, exploding, imploding, quietly, and screaming and yelling.
Yeah, they're like snowflakes.
Exactly. And every vampire dies in each way he describes at the end of this movie, which I thought was kind of fun.
That's satisfying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so they kill the rest of the vampires pretty much. And then Kiefer Sutherland is foisted upon, like, deer horns.
Well, I mean, they, first of all, like, Michael, Jason Patrick, first of all, he sort of, like, gets his vampire power. So, like, they are almost evenly matched. And then they sort of, like, air dance for a while. Like, it's a little bit romantic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little sexy.
It's a bit sexy.
Yeah.
And, like... I mean, this may be out of line, but I think judging from Joel Schumacher and judging from the Batman movies, Blaine, do you find this movie like a little bit homoerotic? A lot of it homoerotic. Yeah. Like, it's almost Point Breaky.
Yeah, no, it's very much Point Breaky for sure, because there's the kind of girl star is in between these two guys, but they don't really pay attention to her for much of the movie. And then you have to have the obligatory sex scene to prove that,
yeah,
you know, they're not gay. But then they really do have this stare into each other's eyes, say each other's names in a whispery voice a lot. Like,
Michael.
You afraid to face me, David? Huh?
Come on. I tried to make you immortal.
You tried to make me a killer!
You are a killer.
Yeah.
Michael.
And there's a mutual respect there too. So I think I don't know. I think there's a little bit thing there.
It's just barely peeking out of the closet, I think, though, because like it's still very 1987.
Oh, that's so funny, because they close the closet door a lot in this movie. Like, Corey Haim is always like, "Mom, can you close the closet?" She's like, "I hate the closet being open."
Well, I sort of wondered too, because Corey Haim has a very sexy man on his wall, and apparently it's 1980s Rob Lowe,
yeah,
looking like very pouty and like sort of androgynous.
Because he was in St. Elmo's Fire, which is the movie Schumacher did before this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's there.
I think it's there.
I think, you know.
I think Lost Boys should have embraced it.
Should have embraced it.
It could have been called Found Boys.
Exactly. Well, and yeah.
I found myself becoming a vampire.
But also I do think that, like, you know, you can like definitely read those connections from things like the title.
Yeah.
And there's also, I mean, in the 80s was also like the AIDS crisis. So in a way, like a lot of boys
fear
and men didn't grow up, you know?
Sure, right. And like the fear of blood kind of thing.
Fear of
in
blood.
This. And then I'd also say that as Ginger Snaps was like a Canadian movie about a girl becoming a werewolf, but
yeah,
it was all about her becoming a woman, like getting her period for the first time and stuff like that.
Right.
And I think that you could read into this becoming a vampire and having like this unnatural quote-unquote thirst for other human beings,
mm-hmm,
it could be read into as like a kind of coming into the fact that you're gay kind,
yeah,
of thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's
vampirism equals queerness in this movie.
Yeah.
Also, like Corey Haim, when he talks about his brother's vampirism.
Right.
And keep in mind, he's at this point only a half vampire, bisexual. He's like, "You're a shit-sucking vampire." And then at one point, he's like, about Star, he's like, "Oh, yeah, she's a vampire. Don't tell me that still makes her a good person."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right? There's like weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a like, little bit something
gay
in
panic
there.
Stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah. Kiefer dies.
Kiefer, yeah, he dies on horns.
Also, vampires have sparkly blood.
Yeah,
that I think is also
blood.
A sign.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And that sparkliness would be later used for vampires in the 2000s. So
yeah,
that's great.
They took that straight from this movie. But Kiefer dies, but they don't turn back.
Oh,
they don't start turning back human. They don't reverse, which means the head vampire must still be alive, and. Mom comes home with Max, and he sees David, and he is disappointed because it ruins his whole plan. His sort of Jim Brady – I don't know if that was the Brady Bunch's dad's name.
I Jim think that Brady was sounds like a serial
Brady
killer.
Bill. I think the guy who's a politician.
Yeah.
But he wanted to do this whole like mixed blended family with his boys,
yeah,
the Lost Boys. And
her
Diane
boys.
Weiss kids.
Yeah. And he wanted her to be like the, you know, the mater familias of this vampire family. He wanted a brood. So she didn't want that.
No.
And he kind of takes her son hostage and is like, "Let me bite you," or, you know, "Come over here and become part of the family."
Mm-hmm. But luckily, Grandpa saves the day as he just sort of rams through the house in his vehicle
that he has like a stake on,
yeah,
yeah,
and impales Max, and He dies. And then Grandpa just goes to the fridge and he's like, if there's one thing I hate about Santa Clara, it's all the damn vampires. And then they all laugh. Freeze frame.
That was the best summer ever. This goes to Corey Haim in school telling the story of like what happened over a summer. Yeah, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, they play that song.
Thou shalt not fall. That's beautiful. It's a pretty big risk to drive into your own home where your family is being held hostage to hopefully only hit the one vampire that's holding them hostage. I'd say Grandpa was a little drunk that night and just went right through the... He's like, I didn't know this was happening.
He was talking about some other vampires that he saw on the way back home.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
In fact, I mean, they sort of like, when he goes to the fridge, like, I think they're sort of playing with the idea that maybe he is the vampire.
Yeah. Because there's like blood in the fridge or something when he said don't like go into the fridge.
Yeah. And, you know, the taxidermy and, you know, how did the widow Clara or whatever her name become a widow?
Yeah. There you go.
That's right.
Inquiring minds want to know. Yeah, that's interesting, but he's not.
No.
All right. Well, we're going to be back after this message to talk about some behind-the-scenes trivia and...
Suck your blood!
Suck your blood. Jesus.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, this is Rewatchability. We're back talking about Lost Boys. We're a little lost ourselves, but we found ourselves with some trivia questions. And Rob, some of these are hard.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, cool. What other movie have Corey... No, we've already answered that. How many times... In this movie, is the character Michael's name said?
Oh, I couldn't name a number. 82?
118 times.
Oh, my God. They do say his name a lot.
Oh, every character.
Oh, he does have a bit of a Michael Hutchins vibe, too, from INXS.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I see that.
Yeah.
But everyone's like, what are you going to do, Michael? How are you going to not be a vampire, Michael? Michael, you coming to the room? It's just like... You can say hey, too, or just not start
drink
a sentence
blood,
with
the blood, Michael.
Yeah.
Mikey likes it.
There's always blood in the banana stand, Michael. So it's too much, man. It's too many times.
It's a lot, yeah. But I was really impressed by Jason Patrick as Michael. And I think that I was impressed because the bar was so low because I only really know him from Speed 2.
Yep, exactly.
Like, what happened to his career and was it just Speed 2? Like, did that just... That was it, you know?
Yeah, it's so weird. He's great in this.
He's so good.
He's funny. At times, he's fun. He, like, you believe him turning into a vampire. You believe that they want him as a vampire. I liked him. He was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why.
Michael.
So which actor from this movie went on to become Corey Feldman's manager in the 1990s?
Oh.
Did you read this?
I did. I don't remember his name, though. Is it one of the vampires?
Yeah, it's Brooke McCarter, and he's one of the vampires. Apparently they got along so much on set that when his career kind of like slowed down, he was like, well... Let me come on and be your manager.
Nice.
I'm already in the business. Let me help you out. And that worked out really well for Corey Feldman.
Aw, well, I mean, he did have some success.
No, he did. He did.
And, you know.
He had some fucking hard start in this business.
And, well, and we know why he has had a hard time.
Exactly.
And, you know.
Yeah.
I just want to wish Corey Feldman the best.
Yeah, well, he was fired from this movie.
Was he?
Yeah, and then because he was coming down off of a cocaine binge because that's how he was dealing with the abuse that he suffered. So, and then the next day he came in and was like, I'm so sorry, Joel. Like, please let me back on board. And he was like, all right, let's do it as long as you don't show up like that again. And he didn't. So, and he was great in this movie. He was so much fun in this movie.
He is great. He's doing a really weird voice for most of the movie.
But I kind of get it because he's fucking 8 years old trying to be a man. You
right.
Know?
No, like, it's true.
He's trying to be this, like, what's the character's name? This is a vampire hunter. But
Van Helsing?
Yeah, he's trying to be a Van Helsing, and he's falling way short. And so that, like, gruff voice of I'm being an action hero and then screaming like hell when he actually does something is great. It's a
good.
Great break. Yeah, I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
All right. I have a few more questions, actually.
Bring them on.
This is maybe my end of the podcast right here because it's a horrible question.
Oh, no.
But they called Santa Cruz the murder capital of the world in this movie. It was at one point the murder capital of the world because how many serial killers were active at the same time in 1970 and 1973?
This is fun, but also I don't feel like I can give a correct answer because there could be many serial killers from that period we're waiting to discover.
Oh, man. God
just
damn.
Unsolved murders and people going missing.
I think this is a good...
Bodies showing up on shore drained of blood.
I think this is a good time to mention our side podcast, which is a true crime podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
I think they're pretty popular now.
Vampire or serial killer?
Yeah.
It was three. And I know that one of them was Ed Kemper, wasn't it?
Ed Kemper, who killed six female hitchhikers.
Fuck.
And his mom and his one of his good female friends.
He's the one that is on Mindhunter.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's really fucking disturbing.
Yeah, he's disturbing.
The
other one was like Herbert Mullen, who killed 13 people that were aged...
We don't need to know.
Yeah,
this.
All right.
Okay, but what's the other guy?
The other guy. Oh, he's pretty nice actually. No, he's a serial killer. He's five people on a rampage at a dentist office. And he said that he was an agent of God to do it. Herbert Mullen killed these people because he thought that each death prevented an earthquake in California. So this is all a lot of mental illness.
Here's
and all
the thing.
Of these people in when they were teens and in their early 20s. Were given psychiatric assessments as one was schizophrenic, one was like I don't know what the other two were, but they were seen. They just weren't helped.
Yeah.
So that's horrible.
They were lost boys.
Oh God, yeah. Okay.
Damn, way to bring us down, Blaine.
I know. I know. Question number four: which actor was born in Toronto, Canada, where we're recording this podcast from?
I can tell you that.
Yeah,
it's Corey Haim.
Oh, I thought I'd get you.
He's a Canadian. Canadian Corey.
I thought I'd get you because Kiefer Sutherland was a Canadian too.
Yeah, but he's from like Alberta or something because his grandpa is like the NDP.
Yeah, and he was born in the UK. So there you go. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But Corey Haim, Canadian Corey. Yeah, who is sadly no longer
with
us.
Kiefer Sutherland is not Canadian?
He's a lie. He's a fucking lie.
You have to be born here, Kiefer.
Yeah.
You cockney asshole.
That's what Canada's known for. You have to be born in Canada to be Canadian.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, we'll take anybody.
We're not known for immigration at all, for being a nice, open country.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, we're going to accept, like, you know, immigrants from, like, you know, refugees and people from, like, countries that are poor and, you know, but...
Yeah.
Until Brexit happens, UK is still a have country. We don't need to be accepting their waifs and strays and vampires.
Once Brexit happens, we need to take care of those poor English folk.
Our British cousins.
Oh, God.
We might need to throw the Queen a bone and give her a job in Parliament.
There's a McDonald's in Parliament, right?
Yeah, that's right. Would you like fries with that? Oh, I think that's probably treason to make fun of the Queen.
Oh, God.
Or to say the Queen
is going
to work at McDonald's after Brexit.
Oh, she'll be fine. There's a deep fryer. She'll learn how to use it. It's fine. So how many movies?
Harry, pass me more McNuggets.
All right. How many movies were the two Coreys in? This is feature films.
Five.
Eight.
Whoa!
There was some sequels. A sequel to this movie they were both in.
Really?
Yeah. And then they had another movie that was – anyway, yeah, there were a bunch of movies. License to Drive.
Right.
You know, that was a big one. So, yeah, those are all the –
That's the only one you can name?
Yes, the only one I can name. Yeah, that's
all right.
Fair.
All right.
Owen Lucas, I think, was one. So, but this was the first one they were in together.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
That's nice. And they became, like, very entwined.
Yeah, they did. They had, like, an A&E show.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, about their lives and stuff.
Yeah, and then, of course, Corey Haim passed away.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
Yeah, that's sad. But Corey Feldman's fighting the good fight in Hollywood right now. You know, he's trying to, like, expose the stuff that's happened to him and bring to light the horrible things that were happening to others in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just bringing the podcast down again. But we're going to keep going because, like vampires, we're eternal. This movie was called Lost Boys for a reason.
Oh, because they couldn't find them.
It was a Where's Waldo ripoff, for sure. No, it was based on, of course, Peter Pan.
What?
And the two writers, one of them came up with the idea of being like, well, Peter Pan could fly. He lived forever and had like a gaggle of people, like a coven kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
he was a witch.
I think he was probably a vampire. Yeah.
Yeah. I see where you're going.
Yeah, there you go.
And, something supernatural.
And so the first draft of this movie, which was written by also one of his writing partners, who was a writer for the Golden Girls.
Ooh.
And she also, the woman who wrote this as well, was in a improv troupe with Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, well, it was like, what show was it?
I can't remember.
It was like some music show where they would, like, open for music.
Yeah, yeah, with their improv.
Like that. Yeah.
So weird. But, yeah, she wrote for the Golden Girls and stuff.
All right, give me a place.
Really funny. Yeah, exactly.
Laundromat, okay.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
At a laundromat?
And scene. Yeah, so that I thought that was a really cool idea, and the fact that this whole thing was supposed to be Goonies-esque, like it was all supposed to be kids no older than 8,
right,
running around, and they were vampire kids too. So like
Corey Feldman was a Goonie,
yeah, and so he was supposed to take his Goonie, he was supposed to like
bring
rub
his
off
Gooniness
on this movie, and so they. Attached Richard Donner. He loved the script.
Who directed the Goonies?
Who directed the Goonies. And then he loved the script. He loved that these kids were vampires as well, and they were like evil kids killing people.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Evil kids are amazing.
Yeah, let the right one in happen, and that was an amazing movie. So then the kind of pre-production went on for so long that he went on to do Lethal Weapon. Which came out the same year as this. And so he had to hire another person. He hired on Joel Schumacher. And Joel Schumacher would only do it if they made them teens because he wanted to make it sexy.
Yeah.
And he was like, I could make it sexy with who we have now, but audiences wouldn't like that. So he was – I think he's kind of a creep, honestly.
What? The man who put nipples on the bat suit is a creep?
So he wanted, and he said that he didn't want a brunette to play the role. He really wanted like a waifish blonde.
Right.
He wanted to shoot her from all these different angles. But then Robert Patrick worked with Jamie Gertz before on this movie called Solar Babies. Have you ever heard of that?
No, but it's Jason Patrick, not Robert Patrick.
Well, you said Robert Pattinson before we were talking about it.
Oh, did I?
Or Jason Pattinson or something. I don't even know. We're all over the place. We don't know actors. But they had worked on this weird post-apocalyptic movie where these teens get rain to fall on an arid land.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of want to see it because it sounds so stupid and great at the same time. But yeah, so he brought her on board, and that's kind of the pre-production of this movie.
Nice.
This movie was filmed in 3 weeks straight and then done. So it was very fast.
Wow.
Production. And they got it out the same year as Lethal Weapon.
And was it like a big hit? Did everyone love it?
I don't know. I remember it being talked about a lot when it came out as a kid. And yeah, I just think it's kind of cool that it came out the same year as like Richard Donner produced this and Lethal Weapon the same year. That's
yeah.
cool because the sax that was being played on Lethal Weapon was played by the guy. No, I'm just kidding around. It wasn't. But that would have been great.
Can you put on a shirt and some pants? I'm
no.
too old for this shit.
Give me the grease. I can't put on a shirt. Oh, man. So, yeah, that's kind of the behind the scenes.
But they did make sequels to this.
Made two sequels, right. Yes.
Did you see any of those? Because no, I know you love Lost Boys.
They were direct-to-video sequels. I didn't see them. There was another sequel floated around that was going to kind of do away with those two sequels and be called The Lost Girls. And
what?
Yeah, and it was...
Girls can't be vampires.
I mean, there's one in this movie.
They've got witches. They've got werewolves now.
And they've got Ghostbusters. Why would we do it? Which is actually what Corey Feldman said.
What, really?
Yeah, he said, well, if you look at the Ghostbusters reboot, that was so unsuccessful that you shouldn't do that again. And you shouldn't do Lost Girls. But that's at the end of the run of the Lost Girls kind of development because it
make Lost Girls.
It has been around for 20 years. Joel Schumacher wanted to do it. In the late 90s.
Oh.
And the script had been written by a screenwriter who then pitched it to the studio. And Joel Schumacher loved it so much that he was like, I want to develop this. But the studio wouldn't go for it. And so it went through development hell. He tried to put it to different studios and it never went. But I kind of want to see what that was. He really wanted biker chick. He wanted the same setup. He wanted biker chicks, vampires. And I think that could have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, I kind of – the movies that never were, that's one that I would like to have seen.
Yeah. Lost Girls.
Yeah, the Lost Girls. There is a DC comic that kind of follows what might have been in that story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I kind of want to read that too.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can pick that up if you're really a Lost Boys fan. like I am.
Wow.
There was also some alternate casting.
Okay.
And there was another Canadian floated for the role of Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, I think I know who this is. Jim Carrey?
Yeah. So fucking weird.
That would be strange.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want you to suck my blood. All righty then. It's like, what? What is this movie?
He's... You know, whispering Michael out of his butt.
Yeah, perfect. That's exactly what it would have been. Yeah,
these things write themselves.
So yeah, that's kind of what happened behind the scenes and the trivia portion. So did you, when you watched this again, did you find anything to appreciate in this film anew, or was it kind of a slog to get through for you?
I have to be honest, I kind of dug it.
Yeah.
I liked the 80s feel of it, which I think. Right now, we're very primed for with all the Stranger Things nostalgia.
For sure.
Like, this could very well be Stranger Things season 4. Now it's Vampire Carnival time.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
I all the actors were great. All the characters were great. It was fun. I love the cheesy music. It's so good. There's this one sound.
I love the synth. It's so good.
Yeah. So it's definitely like an FM synth, but there's one like pitch wheel down sound, which
oh, yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's so 80s to a T.
So bad.
Like even 80s synth that they make now, like doesn't use that.
No.
It's too bad.
No,
it sucks too bad.
Too bad. Everybody knows not to just rip down the pitch wheel that.
It's so funny.
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
But I love it. Because it's so, just that guy in the saxophone.
Yeah.
I would say that this movie is rewatchable just for that guy in the saxophone.
He's so great. What's his life now?
He looks like Jean-Claude Van Damme playing a saxophone in a Speedo.
It's so funny. Oh, he's great.
So I think it's rewatchable. I would totally see a reboot of this done with... Lost people of any gender.
Sure. Yeah, so, I like really dug the cinematography of this movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was really well done and shot. Like, and not a lot of 80s movies are beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
Like we talk about a lot of movies that seem just like someone put an ugly filter on it, like the Blues Brothers and stuff is just awful. But this movie is really beautiful, and a lot of frames are like you could blow up and it'd be a poster in and of itself. And the fog and it's just set deck. A lot went into this that was made it a really interesting movie to watch.
Yeah, and I think it's like, it's a lot more subtle than I remember or think it was. And maybe I'm just judging from Joel Schumacher's Batman and some of the other things that he's done.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a very, like, it feels like it's, you know, a real world. It just happens that this gang of troubled youths suck people's blood instead of doing heroin or playing video games at the arcade.
Listening to rap music, yeah.
Well, there is the Run DMC Walk This Way during the surf Nazi killing scene.
Yeah. So I think this movie is just a gem. I really love it, and it didn't fall in my esteem of it. I think, if anything, looking at the kind of filmmaking that went into it, it kind of raised in my esteem. But knowing what the script could have been, that it could have just been kids, that would have been great.
I don't know.
No?
I'm fine with it being older kids. And I'm kind of fine with it being like a little bit sexy. I mean, it's, you know, there's something sexy about vampires.
Right.
You know, and that's part of the attraction to them.
I hear you. I know. Just. I know.
I don't want to see kids sucking blood, you know?
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Well. So I think that's both rewatchable.
Yeah.
Go check out Lost Boys.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. Or if you have, maybe it's worth a rewatch.
Yeah. Or if you have a lot of time on your hands because you are of the immortal. So you may as well watch Lost Boys because you're going to live forever.
Okay, yeah. I see what you're doing there. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week on Rewatchability. And for those of you who have gone to patreon.com/rewatchability, thank you so much for supporting us with your $1, $3, or $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
We really, really appreciate it. And
you can donate blood there, too.
You can't. You should just go to the blood bank.
Give us your blood.
It's in you to give. Go to Facebook. You can go to Twitter. You can get a t-shirt on TeePublic. And you can go to our website for past episodes. And thank you so much for listening. And don't fall in with any nefarious vampires.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.